Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is brought to you by Manpower of Central Iowa. Manpower, 62 years of finding great people for great companies, manpower.com, and Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do, DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the News Hour, ladies and gentlemen. 23 and a half minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. Welcome again. This is a Tuesday edition, the 14th day of April. Tomorrow is tax day. If you haven't paid your taxes, at least get that extension in, would you? Eric Burmeister is the executive director of the Polk County Housing Trust Fund. He has been in that position about 4 years, and prior to this, he's practiced real estate law. It seems like a natural fit. And he is now, of course, with the Polk County Housing Trust Fund. We're going to find out more about that and about Eric. Welcome to the News Hour, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
That's quite all right. We just had a story about housing, and I want to get your take about some of that. We were talking about rental. You know, rents are continuing to increase. They say it's supposed to be about 30% of the take-home pay, but now we're averaging 31, 35, 36, some places 45% of take-home pay. That has a real impact on how people live. Would you agree?
It has a huge impact on how people live, and it frankly has a huge impact on our community. And that's one of the things that we talk about quite a bit at the Polk County Housing Trust Fund, particularly in the things that we do around our advocacy work for increasing the number of affordable units that we have. The surveys and the studies that you cited, both from the Harvard study and also from the National Low Income Housing Coalition, are absolutely applicable to what we see happening in Polk County and in the Des Moines metro area.
You know, and this, we talk about this a lot, Eric, how everybody talks about, well, the recession is behind us and things are going really well and everybody's got a job and the unemployment rate is extremely low here in the metro. But yet we continue to be faced with these stories of not only income inequality, but also rising costs and people not being able to afford the basic necessities of life. And it seems like it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
You're right. And a lot of times, as our organization digs deeper into the demographics of the central Iowa area, what we find is that the recession or recovery from recession has left our service workforce behind. And so while there are a number of things that we can tout as good news, there are also a number of things that we need to make sure that we don't lose sight of. And one of those things is that for our service workforce, or those folks that are making anywhere from minimum wage to about $11 or $12 an hour, a huge percentage of those folks are paying way more than 30% of their total take-home pay for their housing costs. In some cases, we're talking about households paying 50 and 60%.
Well, which is the secondary issue with all of this is when you're paying that much for housing costs, you don't have any money left over for other things, which is really a driver of the economy.
That's correct. It's a driver of the economy. It is, I keep telling folks in the business, the mortgage business, which is a huge portion of our economy around here, that when we have folks paying that kind of money or that percentage of their income, there's no opportunity to save for a down payment on a house. We talk about it being the American dream. But when you're paying 60% of your take-home pay just for your rent, there's no opportunity.
No, there's not, is there? No. Eric Burmeister, ladies and gentlemen, he is with the Polk County Housing Trust Fund. So let's dig into what is the Housing Trust Fund, how does it work, and you've had some recent news about this as well.
Sure. We do three things at the Housing Trust Fund. The first thing that we do is we do a lot of research work in terms of the affordable housing inventory that's available in central Iowa. So we take a look at both for rental and single-family home ownership, what sorts of units are available. How many of them are there? What is the rent? Where are they located? Are they two bedrooms? Are they one bedrooms? Are they efficiencies? And then we also look carefully at the demographic of the population that needs affordable housing. So are they families? Are they singles? Are they young? Are they old? And then, of course, one of the things that we like to try and do then is to either celebrate when those two things match up, or to raise awareness in the community of when they don't.
And where are we?
Where are we? Well, we're actually, it's a really good news story and a really bad news story is what it is. The really good news story is that we are doing well for affordable housing for our young professionals. We have done a really good job of providing housing for households that are making 50 to 80% of area median income. So you're talking about folks that are households that are making anywhere from, you know, $20 to $25 an hour. The really, really bad news is that we, like many places, are desperately in need of units for our service workforce, for those folks that are working in retail, working in restaurants, working in housekeeping for major hotels. We are literally thousands and thousands of units short. We can tell you exactly how many. I didn't bring that specific number with me, but it's on our website. And then the other thing that is exacerbating that problem is that the units that we do have are not located in the areas of town where they need to be. Well, actually, the people are there, but they're not located where the jobs are. So the fact is we have folks that are living in central Des Moines.
For example, the near north side, perhaps.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Who are commuting to Jordan Creek.
Right. And working in West Des Moines.
Because our large retail centers and our large housekeeping centers, where we have large concentrations of hotels, are the low-wage job centers in central Iowa. And there is not sufficient housing in adjacent to those places for the workforce to live.
Recently, the Greater Des Moines Partnership, in their Capital Crossroads campaign, identified housing issues, in particular neighborhood revitalization efforts in the near north side. Are you familiar with that?
Sure. The our organization does not directly fund neighborhood revitalization. We fund affordable housing. Many times, neighborhood revitalization is a really good byproduct of what we do. But the quality of our affordable housing stock, both in the Des Moines, inner city Des Moines neighborhoods, as well as some of the other older parts of our suburban communities, is of huge concern to us. And the fact is that affordable is only one part of the equation. The other two parts are that it's safe and that it's stable. So it's safe in terms of being habitable, but it's also stable in terms of something that folks can live in for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Because housing stability has a huge effect on an individual or a family in terms of their ability to contribute to the Greater Des Moines economy.
Absolutely. Eric Burmeister, ladies and gentlemen, with the Polk County Housing Trust Fund. So with all of these statistics and all this data that you've been able to accumulate over time, what mission, what can you do in the area of helping individuals better have housing security?
Well, the first thing that that we're doing with the data is tomorrow night we are releasing a regional plan for affordable housing called Housing Tomorrow.
Right.
For the last year, we have been working on accumulating that data as well as accumulating community input as to what folks' housing needs and concerns are. And then we have come up with a plan that we hope over the next, until 2050, because that's the outlook for these plans, that between now and 2050, we begin to see a change in our community's reaction and policy towards affordable housing.
Hmm. And part of this all rolls into several other programs that are going on here in the metro. We just had a walkability conference the other day talking about transportation issues. MPO has been talking about how we move from point A to point B. What can we do to allow people much more mobility if they don't own a car, and opportunities for work and jobs and all those other kinds of things. So there's a lot of talk going on about the same sort of things, and I suspect that all of you folks are working somewhat hand in hand.
We all talk every day. Yes. I am pleased to say that that the collaboration across sectors in this community is probably like no place you'll find in the country. We talk to folks from DART all the time.
Sure.
We sit down. We cross-pollinate committees as we talk about these sorts of issues. And the MPO and DART are very aware that of our service workforce population, that is folks that make less than 30% of area median income, that many of those folks don't own cars.
Mm-hmm.
They rely totally
on public
transportation or their own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so to begin to talk about how we make our job centers accessible to folks that don't have a car becomes very important from an economic development standpoint.
Everything does come back to the economic development. And you know, even when Walmart and Target, when they said, look, we're going to increase the hourly pay of our employees, they saw it as an investment rather than an expense because of more money in the pocket of, you know, if we beat that horse dead.
Yeah, we have. And the other thing is that it will raise all boats because it will become then our service workforce will become more competitive. And the fact is that we know in Des Moines, we've been talking about it now for over a decade, talking about our coming workforce crisis. That is the fact that we do not have enough people in Central Iowa to sustain the kind of economic development that we have enjoyed over the last 20 years. And so we're going to have to attract people to this area. And we know that the three fastest growing job sectors over the next 20 years, according to Iowa Workforce Development, are going to be sectors that need affordable housing options.
That's exactly right. Hotel, restaurant employees, healthcare workers, and it goes on.
And call center, folks. And so if we're going to be able to attract incoming workforce folks in order to sustain our economic development, then we're going to have to provide affordable housing options for them.
Eric Burmeister, and tomorrow night you have this event, and tell us about that, and because we'll put this up on the podcast and share it with others.
Sure. Tomorrow night is the second year, what they call Tomorrow Plan 2.0, and that is an event that will be occurring at the Botanical Center. That's where we actually release Housing Tomorrow. It is an MPO event, and it is an invitation-only event from MPO. But tomorrow night at 5 o'clock or thereabouts, the public will be able to go on the website housingtomorrow.com, www.housingtomorrow.com, and will be able to read Housing Tomorrow, not only the executive summary, but also the full report. And then Thursday morning to the public, and interesting for your listeners in particular, We're going to be at Des Moines University at 8 o'clock with some national speakers talking about how housing is foundational to health, the community's health, to our K-12 education system, and to economic development. And we will have panelists there, local panelists talking about those, as well as Michelle Winters from ULI in, I think she's from New York, and Stephanie Ettinger-DeCuba from Children's Health Watch in Boston, coming to talk about how providing affordable housing will result in positive outcomes to our community's health, education, and economic development.
Two interesting events happening in the next 48 hours, talking about housing. Eric, thank you so much. Will you come back?
I would absolutely come back.
I would love to continue this conversation after the fact.
Sure.
And continue to dig a little bit deeper into the affordable housing issues here in the Des Moines Metro.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Eric Burmeister, ladies and gentlemen, from the Polk County Housing Trust Fund. We're going to step aside for just a few moments as we take a look at the Wall Street Report, and then we'll have the commodity numbers, and then the ABI Foundation is in studio with us. We're going to be talking about getting folks some experiential opportunities in the workforce. That's all yet to come on the NewsHour.
Nothing but highways as far as the eye can see.